So in keeping with theme of the poem of the Five Word Challenge winner, this poem is called Koala Shit.
Yes.
Yo, this flow is like lava pits. I'll show you so you can acknowledge this. I will never call it quits. I am forever the wanderer above the sea of fog and mist. Now I spit rough stuff and polish it so I can bum rush any beat and demolish it. But my woefully broken brain needs a team of psychologists. And I want a simple life, bursting at the seams with all of it, traveling right between having an alcoholic fit, get off the flight to Australia, and step in koala shit. Now I wish there were no borders or politics, and Jason quit being a kind of sort of why do I exist apologist, and forget fear. You said you abolished it. But at the time of this writing, I'm still deciding whether to face my demons fighting or go back into hiding, keeping in mind that my deadline is my lifetime, and I'm fine. I will hold a mic in my hand for my whole lifespan until I'm an old wise man digging my toes in white sand. Damn.
Next, can we have Jamie Lawton, please? Big round of applause.
I haven't been here since the day I got my diagnosis. I suppose it's because I'm over where I was by Head and Shoulders. This old fortress made of broken stone fills me with a closeness to the lonely little kid who couldn't see beyond his nose. His cause was hopeless, so he'd go away to be alone, and he transposes stuttered, cluttered thoughts and his emotions to the pad whereon he wrote them, and to put him in the zone, he would write them in a flow using the beats on his phone. Not so much a poet like a purist would use the word, more like Watsky or Shinoda, but to him, distinction blurred. Hip-hop was a music genre, a rap a style of vocals, and how could it be either? The poem was never heard. This is where our battered young man's battle starts in earnest. Blessed and cursed with a brain that dealt with pain by getting further from the hurt, trying not to unearth it, which would be fine if I'd known the kind of mind I had to work with. And while the earth shook and the world took to driving in reverse, I found this old dirt nook where I could write my words. With each verse in the workbook, I tried to understand the purpose of the madness and the sadness that I had to hand. And so I made my stand, fort had to be manned, and in its walls I had what my mentality demanded. The castle was my land, the world outside be damned. Magic language sat at my command.
Thank you, Jamie. Next we have Charles Clark, please.
Thank you very much. Hi. Couple of very ancient ones. This is really ancient. But it has been what I can say. Anyway, there are a couple of them. I might read the second, depending on the philosopher first. Demosthenes on Oxford. Demosthenes, the Greek orator, famous Greek orator, shaking the gravel from his voice. Refreshed by the chilly waters, he dried himself on shallow banks. From old habit, he addressed his audience, pensive willows in shimmering sunlight. Exiled, unheard in the Agora, far from Athens and Macedonian memories, he reproved the folly of the times, the decay of learning, the easy tolerances. Resuming his accepted vesture, he swung his punt into the larger screen and drifted skillfully to Polly Bridge. Second, Price, who has admired this, Demosthenes on Dublin, finding it increasingly hard to practice. Tar, bird watchers, his early morning appointment was where you will. In surging oceanic green and fleshy red, his vestra, modeled on the Delacroix in the Darien Square, he rarely excited comment. I would be myself, he would mutter, between munch and pebbles. He developed pulmonary power beyond compare. Then he denounced renunciation and determination, combed the hair of memory, excited passionate response in questing seagulls.
Thank you, Charles. And next we have Sandra Beasley, please.
Thank you. I am so excited for the poetry festival we have this week going on all around town. And I get to read for it on Wednesday night. I was back home in Washington, D.C. This past week. I did a reading at the Folger Shakespeare Library, and I was remembering many years ago I went to a reading there by a Korean poet, Ko-un, and he was reading with his translator. And everything that Ko-un said, the translator would have to mirror. When the audience asked something, he would mirror it back to Ko-un, and the translator would receive the answer and give it back, and so on and so on, and all the meet and greet and every bit of conversation. And I asked how long Ko-un had worked with his translator, and the answer was more than 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I thought, how strange would it be to have your life's calling, your vocation, to be essentially following around someone else and having their words. Mm. And that gave me this poem. The translator. He paid me to carry his words in my mouth, to give him the cut of sky, the color of beef, to give him please, to give him thank you, to give him tea kettle, spider, tango. I ate at his table. I moved into his basement. I made a dictionary of size, when to order takeout, when to play Stravinsky, when to tell the woman to take her clothes and go. Soon he was dying. I can't breathe, he said. So I said, I can't breathe. My heart, he said. So I said, my heart. It was my wrist the nurse held, my chest under the stethoscope. I'm sorry, said the doctor, and my throat became a coffin that could not open. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Next, can we have Joe Healy? Yeah. Big round of applause, please.
Hello, I'm going to try two poems. I've had permission from Paul. So the first, the tree that grew around the stone, and a quote from a song by Kate and Anna McGarrigle. Some say that a heart is just like a wheel. When you bend it, you can't mend it. A tree grew near our farm next to a stone wall. The stone would not move, and the tree grew around it. So it was in the beginning. Stones would not move, and the rivers flowed around them. Earth formed. Man and woman walked on the earth. Woman would not move, or was it man? The argument goes on. Man grew strong, tried to rule the earth, but earth and his friend stone would not move. Man sent factory smoke and jets into the sky, dumped plastic in seas, pumped oil from frozen ground. I wonder what will happen next. They say earth, wind and water may form an alliance. Man may go to Mars or stay in his big cities. Men and women may call a truce. Or more likely in their case, the sky could fall in. Anyway, man won't see it coming. He has his head in the sand, ostrich-like, humming a song to the earth with his backside cocked to the sky. The tree is still growing nearby, but the wall has crumbled. Roots have weakened the foundation built by man. So that's the one thing. This is called My Wife's Shoe Collection. My wife has a big shoe collection in the house, and actually I had a nightmare about it, so. And this is a tale of a downtrodden man I'm about to tell to you. for my wife's shoe collection, numbers 142. Her best friend sometimes calls, supposed to be for tea, and when she finally leaves, there's another pair to see. She has a favourite one, you know, it's a silver shiny yoke, and I finally figured out why we are always broke. She wore them to two weddings and never left the floor. With 6-inch heels to lift her, she just fits beneath the door. Sometimes in our bedroom, I just glare at the wall. 6 shelves of shoes stare back at me. I sure hope they don't fall. For some nights, I get nightmares, for that the shoes will come alive to Mrs. and Imelda Marcus to kill me dead tonight. Don't be cross, my darling, when I tell you how I feel. You know you mean the world to me, but I'm fed up under your heel. This morning, my beloved told me if she should ever die, to bury her with her favorite shoes. Of course, I shall comply.
Thank you so much. Next, can we have Patricia Walsh, please?
Shock to the pink, immeasurable disaster, nicely painted through a purple hue. Laughed at by choice, better affection. Reading a stern example, hard application. Misplaced commas to say herself mature. In these senior times, more of this nonsense. Hazing through a purpose exalted to heaven. Ambling from a car park, loved out of measure. The rare form surprised, the obvious pains. Stern discipline to language alighted. Drinking coffee to functions, watching time. Levitra condemns the innocent dispenser. Magnifying the Lord through a word indeed. Thinking of liberation like clean a whistle. Looking well out of uniform, a choice of state. Growing up finally, the elusive Holy Grail. Arrogance from the downtrodden expounds. Excluded from parties through sheer fear. Being exiled from a pretentious slough, overqualified for hardship at genius's time. The bitch left unsaid, landed as appropriate, lack a name over a solid phrase, waiting for the sun, a holy exercise, the promise of explosion on a future declaration, studying miracles top-knotted with favour. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Patricia. And next, can we have Sue Blue?
Thank you very much. I noticed that earlier on, I don't know if that's still the case, we had some other German speakers. I have a translation this time. I'll do the German version first.
Unterm Silbermond. Und wie oft sehe ich mit sehnsuchtsvollem Blick hinauf zu deinem Fenster unterm Silbermond, wo schon dein süßer Körper warm in Kissen ruht, wenn voll Verlangen erst in mir die Nacht erwacht. Zu mancher Stunde, wenn das Mondlicht durch das Dunkel zieht und mich die Dichtermuse in den Schreibbahn band, verzehren meine zarten Fühlerzellen sich vor Sehnsucht nach Berührung deiner sanften Hand. Und meine Sinne wandern weiter deine Flanken lang, bis mit ersehntem Beben ich, wenn meine Nacht getan, mich leis an deine weichen Kurven schmiegen kann und selig unterm Silbermond in Schlaf entschwinde und mein Verlangen wartet auf die nächste Nacht. Under the silver moon. And how often am I looking up with longing gaze? To your window high above under the silver moon, where your sweet body lies already in the warm duvets, when inside me with desire now that night awakes. In many hours when the moonlight travels through the dark, and the muse of poems binds me in a writing trance, my tender feeler cells are all consumed in longing for the touch from your gentle hands. And my senses wander further down along your flank, until with yearning quiver, when my night is done, I quietly can nestle to your supple curves at last, and disappear in bliss to sleep under the silver moon, and my desire is waiting for another night.
Thank you, Sue. And next we have Mags Creedon, please.
Kind of awkward. I'm lovely with this, so I just do what you bring to mind, and I'll just do two of the short songs. One of them is Sounds Lost, you know, Fantasy, and the other one that is just something fast and jazzy about the writing festival, doing a short story masterclass with Claire Keegan and trying to put it on one page. So, an empty heart, a vacant chair, loneliness has crept inside of here, the phantom pain of you're not there. That's not really a good line, no. Oh Jesus, this isn't happening all the time. No, I'll go blank on it. Get on with the next one. Move out gently from the quiet woods of Wicklow. Shed baggage over hills of porcupine. Shed the doubt put by the sandbag before circling Atlanta. Rule out seatcoats, hidden bells of sweet chimes. Squeeze the acerbic chiss of cynical Savannah. But don't wring the melodrama through your hands. With clinical precision, apply temporal reason to excise a tiny slice of some life pie. This slice of timeline must be slender. Footsteps walk one way, they cannot return to sender. Reluctantly begin to tell the story as a sin. Each sensory detail will seal the package in. But beware that gamey eye, to cause havoc with desire. Cause there's horror in the aftermath, the unopened mail, the missing cat. True horror must be concealed, let's not show or tell that. But beware that gamey eye, to cause terror by desire. That's the end of that one.
Thank you, Max. And next we have Hayley Hughes, please.
Thank you. one of my favorite poets, W.S. Merwin, passed away a couple days ago, and he was a giant. And so I'm going to read one of his poems. It's called It Is March. It is March. It is March, and black dust falls out of the books. Soon I will be gone. The tall spirit who lodged here has left already. On the avenues, the colorless thread lies under old prices. When you look back, there is always the past, even when it has vanished. But when you look forward with your dirty knuckles and the wingless bird on your shoulder, what can you write? The bitterness is still rising in the old minds. The fist is coming out of the egg. The thermometers out of the mouths of corpses. At a certain height, the tails of the kites for a moment are covered with footsteps. Whatever I have to do has not yet begun.
And next, can we have the Bo Williams?
Cool. So this poem is called "Good Drums." I used to be at a school in Ballyvaughan, and they were having integration. They're having a party to integrate all the students from different cultures together, and there's a Palestinian group and an American group together, and we were having dinner and playing music, and something went down, and I wrote a poem about it, so here it is. A Palestinian musician sings me a song and then asks if she frightens me. Asks if her accent will unplug the skin from my spine, find my hand to the butt of my gun. I don't own a gun. She's not convinced. I don't blame her. I am every news story and every rubbled hospital. I have 10 tanks in my chest. I am the first white man she has ever seen. I'm so sorry. I send out search parties to find her ears, her heart. Her grandmother taught her to become a saint of hidden things. Her sisters taught her to be encyclopedia fists and full shoulders when the threat comes. I cannot be a mouthpiece for a battalion, but I can pick up a drum. I follow her lead. We bumble, we stop, regroup, we blend, become composers in a foreign land. If we could drown out bombs with this crack, then the sky could open like a music note. If we could calm these fires, if we could kill this television in a chorus of climax, we could be a fat thumbprint and a memory. We could be a moment's hesitation and a second thought. Her voice pulls the picture frames tight. My percussion sews them to the walls. I never ask what the words mean. She never asks where I come from. We eat notes from the air. That is every answer we need. This song is not a roll in a flower bed. This is a poem belted through a stereo. This is six generations in powerful ululation. A gallery of painted rocks and broken noses. This is a mosque full of a good God's voice in perfect rhythm with a superfly beat.
Much. Does anyone else want to come up? We've got a good bit of time left. Shall I do it?
Do it!
Do it!
So, I wrote this poem recently. It's called The Poetry Garden. I spend good nights dusting off hurt blossoms and fertilizing the subconscious mud with bioluminescent algae until the garden blooms with geometric roses and jasmine aldehydes that spray their wild perfume and create hallucinations and send me falling into the fairest fugue. I'm sleepwalking this technicolor jungle where the moon splits into mercury and spills pinballs across the sky until they marry the stars. A garden takes maintenance, and there are bad days. I find that clichés are stubborn as Japanese knotweed. My mother says that plants are listening, that kind words ignite life in their green fuse and push the flowers into bloom. I tell the clichés that I hate them and knock their confidence before opening a box of ladybirds to eat them alive. Then I pray for great metaphoric orchids that withstand all weather and emanate their purple light through the grey of falling rain. I have tacked a sign to my mind called Imitations of Being Human. I meditate in this lyrical garden and obsessively listen for that second voice inside me that I've always known and that I'm always losing, like the car keys to my heart. I dream of hotwiring my own body and joyriding this garden. I would throttle through all the Japanese knotweed, laughing as I drift in double infinities across the grass and cheer as luminous sap sprays all over the ego police. Thank you. I'm so